bless the Lord, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Well, speaking of blessings, we usually begin a meal with a blessing. Did you ever hear around your house, what are we having for supper? How many of you hear that, you ladies hear that a lot? What are we having for supper? Well, I'll tell you what we're having if it's at our house. If it's Sunday night, we're having leftovers. If it's Monday night, we're having spaghetti and salad probably. And if it's Wednesday night, when we have to go to prayer meeting, it's probably fish and slaw. If you want to know what we're having for supper at our house, you just need to know what day of the week it is. Now, if you're in a Baptist church, she's shaking her head, but it's true. In a Baptist church, you know, if it's the last Sunday of the quarter, in many Baptist churches, we know what we're going to be doing on the last Sunday of the quarter. What would we be having on the last Sunday of a quarter in a Baptist church or and in many other churches? We would be having what? The Lord's Supper. There's someone right there, knew right away. Now, how in the world did we know that? Can you give me a chapter and verse in the Bible for that? No, I can't either, to be honest with you. There is no chapter or verse about having the Lord's Supper on the last Sunday of the quarter. So why do we have it at that time? I don't really know. But the point is that we do have the Lord's Supper, and we know why we have the Lord's Supper, because the Lord Jesus taught us to do that, and He taught us to do that in His Word. Now, however, if we were having the Lord's Supper, and we are having today, we are observing and celebrating the Lord's Supper together in this service, what would we be having for supper, the Lord's Supper? And our children, let me ask one of the children, what would we be having for the Lord's Supper? Yes, ma'am. Bread, that's right. And what else? Yes. What else? Grape juice, that's exactly right. So we know what we're having for the Lord's Supper. Now, it gets a little bit more complicated than that when we really think about it, because we need to understand what the bread means and what the grape juice stands for. And when Jesus taught His disciples and those who came to follow Him that they were to repeat the Lord's Supper, they were to do so in order to remember what He did for them. That is, we are to remember His body that was broken and bruised for us for our salvation. We're to remember His blood that was shed on the cross when He died and poured out His sinless blood for our sin and our salvation. And so the Lord's Supper is something we do to remember what Jesus did for us. What we serve for the Lord's Supper has not changed in 2,000 years. It may be of an interest to you to know that actually the first Lord's Supper, the night that Jesus shared the Lord's Supper with His disciples, was not on a Sunday at all. It was on a Thursday night. But it's important for us most of all to remember that Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And so today we're here to observe and remember the Lord's Supper. We want to remember the bread that was that represents His life and His body. And we remember the blood that was shed on the cross for our sin and our salvation. I want to read for you some words that Jesus spoke just before He shared the Lord's Supper with His followers. Jesus said, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and He gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup, and He gave thanks, and He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I want you to think with me this morning about the blood that was shed, and the blood that was shared, and the blood that sanctifies us as we take the Lord's Supper and we take the cup from that supper in our hand to take of it. First of all, the blood that was shed, Jesus commanded, He instructed His followers, those who came after Him and believed in Him, to take the cup of juice and say, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, Jesus intended his words to be reminders, symbolic. I mean, no Jewish person, no faithfully Jewish person would ever drink blood, nor would even a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, think of drinking blood. Only savage people did things like that. From the days of Noah until the days of Jesus, the Jewish people, whenever they ate the flesh of an animal, they always drained from that animal the blood, so that in respect of the life that was in the blood. And so all life is in the blood. They knew that. Old Testament believers understood long before scientists ever figured it out in our generations that life is in the blood. Without blood, there's no life. All life is precious to God who created it. And when eating an animal, the Jews would drain the blood from the animal before preparing it for food. They honored life. Life is in the blood. You got it? Nod your head. Good. Life is in the blood. That's why Jesus told his disciples that night, as he took the grape juice, to remind them of his sinless blood. If you drink my blood, my life will enter your life. Do it. By shedding his sinless blood on the cross, Jesus paid for our sin debt. Whenever we take up the cup symbolizing his blood and we receive it, we are recognizing that we have received Jesus Christ into our lives. His life is in us. And we remember that. And it changes our life. And we remember his blood shed for our sins at the cross, and his life now has become part of us. And so we remember that. Now, that's the blood that was shed for us. But that blood was also shared. That same night, Jesus gave his disciples the cup to drink. And he gave them another object lesson. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus wanted his disciples to remember that our present life is nourished by his life in us. Without Jesus Christ within us, we can do nothing. It's not only a shed blood, it's a shared blood. Just as you take a branch from a tree or a vine and you separate that branch from the vine itself or the tree, it can produce no fruit. If you take a Christian and you separate that Christian from Christ, the Christian doesn't bear any fruit. It just sits there. It withers. It brings nothing nourishing from it. And there's a lesson in that. You put your antenna up here. This is important. The Lord Jesus chose blood as the example of his connection to us and our connection with him. Modern science has helped us understand that. The words that Jesus spoke there in Scripture earlier, and they're recorded again in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. Jesus said to his disciples, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Now we remember these are reminders. They're symbols, reminders. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Every cell in your body, and you have millions of cells in your body, receive their energy and the oxygen that they need by blood. In fact, every cell in your body is within just a hair's breadth of a little blood vessel, a tiny capillary somewhere that's running throughout your body. We've got some soon-to-be nurses among us here and some others who will tell you this. Every cell of your body, tell me if I'm wrong, every cell of your body is just a hair's breadth away from some supply line that's bringing you energy and oxygen. If any cell in your body is deprived of blood, then it loses the oxygen, it loses its energy, and in a few minutes you begin to feel the effects of it. You get tired. After a while, you'll develop aches and pains and even hot flashes of pain, and your muscles start to cramp, and if you try to move without the blood, your body would be in agony, and the life-giving energy and oxygen you need to move is brought to you by blood. Now, what was Jesus telling us there? In the same way that physical blood brings you energy and life, Jesus Christ brings you the spiritual energy, brings you the spiritual nourishment that you need to be able to produce spiritual food in your life. And when you find a life that has no spiritual energy to it, no spiritual fruit in it, you know that it's been cut off from the source of life, Jesus. By neglect, by failure to be connected to Him, in prayer, studying of His Word, reflecting upon His presence. An interesting thing happened to me about 15 years ago. I noticed that after preaching particularly and after doing other things, I became very tired. Just so tired that the only thing I could do was sit down and rest for a few minutes. Now, I could sit down for 10 or 15 minutes and get up, and I was as fresh as I ever was before, and I could start working or doing something again. And this continued until finally someone urged me to go and talk to someone about it. And I said, well, I'll show you there's nothing wrong with me. And I walk into an emergency room, and a nurse starts talking to me and asks me two or three questions. And then she said, sit down. Sit down. What for? Sit down. Well, when I finally got to put up my feet on the floor again, it was 3 days later, and I had a new stent in my heart. They had to do open heart surgery. And what had happened was simply this. My thinker, the supply line to my thinker, the big one, was 98% closed. I was just about ready to leave here. You know, you take that picture into our spiritual life, and what you have there is you have a picture of a spiritual life that's about ready to die, cut off from Jesus, not getting any nurture, not getting any life through the life-flowing presence of Jesus. And so Jesus commanded His followers to remember this profound truth by the simple act of drinking the fruit of the vine and taking the bread and sharing it and remembering that it's His life that has been shared with us. So when your spiritual life starts to run dry and your spiritual strength begins to drain, I want you to recognize the source of the problem. Jesus taught us here, turn to Him in faith. He will make your life abundant and meaningful, energetic again, and bring back and restore the joy that you had before when you recognized His presence. So it's a shed blood, it's a shared blood, and it's a blood that sanctifies. Now let's look at that. And I really hesitate to use this word, sanctify, because we don't use it very, very often in our day-to-day conversation with one another, but it literally means to set us apart. And Jesus said, when you receive Him into your life, it sets you apart from the world, from the flesh, and even from Satan himself. It sets you apart. Jesus blood illustration illustrates just what this means to us. I want to go back and just share a little bit of science and biology with you here for a moment. We were talking about how your body is receiving oxygen and energy through the blood. But do you know that every time the oxygen comes to a cell in your body, whether it's in your thinker or any other part of your body, it does something else. After the blood deposits that energy and that life-giving strength to you, it picks up any toxins, any poisons that have been left behind in the cells of your body. And it takes those back and you get rid of them. They take them out of your body. Now use that same picture. What is Jesus saying to us here? He's telling us that His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When you are connected to Jesus through faith, when you are in fellowship with the Spirit of God, then the blood of Jesus Christ, not only does it energize you and bring you strength and bring you life and energizes your faith, but it also picks up the unrighteousness that has been deposited in your life. You know what I mean? You know when you do something that's wrong, when you neglect doing right, you know how you feel, the heaviness, the burden, the guilt? How do you get rid of that? Not by taking a pill. You get rid of it through the blood of Jesus Christ. It picks up that guilt. It picks up that shame. It picks up that embarrassment and that lifelessness, and it takes it out of you and restores your life to energy and faith again. It is the blood not only that is shed and shared with you, but it sanctifies you. I hear one amen for that. We need that. How we need that. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Doesn't that make you want to say, yes, yes, that's the answer. Several years ago, a missionary family I heard about had two little girls who contracted measles in a third world country. One of the little girls recovered rather quickly, but the second child grew worse. In fact, she became dangerously ill. And when the parents contacted a physician, he said to them, "We're in danger of losing this little girl unless we can get the blood of someone who has overcome the disease of measles before and use it as an antibody to bring that child relief and healing." So the family desperately sent out the word, made a plea for someone, anyone who had ever experienced measles, had gotten over that illness, if they would prepare a transfusion of their overcoming blood for their little girl who could not overcome this measles disease within them. They found someone. And the person came, the blood was transfused from the person who had overcome measles, was given to the little girl, and she survived. She lived. Do you see the picture here? Christ Jesus is the only one who has ever overcome the power and the presence of sin. He's the overcomer. Buddha can't help you. Muhammad can't help you. Idols can't save you. Things of this world can't give you life and peace with God. Only the blood of the overcomer, Jesus, can make the divine difference in your life and mine. The blood of Jesus is the blood that sanctifies. When by faith you receive Jesus Christ into your life, Jesus said, "You have my life. He that drinks this cup and eats this bread, drinks my blood, has my life within him." In the meantime, he shares the cleansing power of his life with us. And he sanctifies, he cleanses us, he makes our lives abundant and meaningful. And just as you may not be conscious right now that you've got your, that the blood that is within your body is just moving back and forth to thousands of places in your body, tiny little microscopic cells, and it's depositing that energy and it's taking away those toxins, you may not be aware of all that Jesus and His blood has is doing for you through the faith that He has given you, but it's there. It transforms you. It energizes you. It relieves you and delivers you in every difficulty that you face in your life. What a blessing. And when we come to this table today, as you take this cup and drink it, and you take this bread, remember His words. Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In a few moments now, after we talk with God together in prayer, I'm going to ask that you would join me as we take of the Lord's Supper. Those who have already professed with their lives, confessed with their lips that Jesus is your Savior, you have professed Him as your Lord and Savior through baptism, you'll want to do this. Others among you may want to simply pray with them, as the children will be obviously doing and sharing in this special time. As we do so, it may be, and I speak maybe to one or two of you who are here today, that you're sitting here thinking, this is what I need. I need the life of Jesus Christ in me to energize my life. I need the life of Jesus and His blood that will cleanse and sanctify my life and make my life meaningful and abundant. After we pray, there will be a time as we sing together for you to come and just stand with me here a moment and confess with your own lips today that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you will follow Him. We're not going to give you a test to see how much you know about Jesus or anything else. We're just going to do what Jesus said. Whoever confesses Me before men, I will confess before the angels of heaven. And you'll have an opportunity to stand with me and say today, I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart and in my life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this special time. Thank You for what You've spoken to our hearts. As we enter into this time of prayer and praise and singing, let our hearts be energized and our thoughts be turned toward You. As some are coming to pray, as some come to confess their faith in You, Lord, may Your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing together, would you stand as we sing, Come as God speaks to your heart today.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank You, oh my Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank You, oh my Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
I'm going to ask you to be seated as the deacons tonight to this morning will prepare the Lord's Supper table for us, and we will share that table together. Remembering that night when Jesus met with his disciples and gave to them this Last Supper, we remember these words. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread, for its reminder to us of your life that was shed upon the cross, your sinless life laid down for our sin and our salvation. We receive it, Lord, as the energy and the life that you have given us in your presence in us by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He white as snow.
And Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And then Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let us pray. Father, thank you for what you did for us. You took your sinless life and you gave it and poured it out for our sin and my sin and our salvation, my salvation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. See you. with his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
And Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. The Bible says that after the Last Supper, the disciples and the Lord Jesus sang a hymn and went out into the garden where the Lord was betrayed and then went to the cross for our sin and our salvation. We traditionally sing together a song in parting. And I'll ask you to stand with me now as we sing together. Maybe you just want to reach across the aisle and take the hand of someone nearby and just hold hands with that person near you as we share together in that shared blood, in that sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, how he loves you and me.